Okay, great. Well, this is the last talk for this portion of the day, and so I'll try to move through this fairly quickly so you can get on to lunch. This is going to pertain to abscisic acid and used as a thinner for Bartlett pear. I'd like to acknowledge Matthew Arrington. Matt was a master student of mine who's now at WSU pursuing a PhD. Okay, for those not too familiar with pear production regions, about 99% or so of the pears are produced on the West Coast. You've got these stars here, which sort of signify the scale and the various production regions. This would be more or less Wenatchee, Yakima, Hood River, little area down in Medford, southern Oregon, and then California, which I didn't quite put the Sacramento River Valley and Lake County, but you've got two regions there. So we grow a lot of beautiful pears in the Northwest. In terms of a thinner, it's really Bartlett that we're after in terms of reducing fruit set crop load. I don't think I need to provide much rationale to a group of pomologists, but this figure here, data from Martin Goffinette showing the effect of cell number on final fruit size, okay, and how thinning might alter that. And of course, this is apple, and really what the data shows, fruit weight is works quite positively with cell number, and if you don't thin early, you can reduce that. Pear behave fairly similar. Bartlett has a cell division period that lasts roughly 30, 35 days. The cell number is set. And the interesting thing is that we hand thin quite a bit in the Northwest. So in Oregon, Bartletts are all fresh. Well, I wouldn't say that. The target or the aim is fresh market Bartletts, and very little are going to cannery. And its size is largely achieved by hand thinning. Interestingly, it's not performed to about 30 to 40 days after full bloom to get through the drop period. And of course, this is going to result in unrealized fruit growth potential. That's a photo of harvest, but the same applies, thinning. You got ladders all over, and hand thinning requires a significant labor input, and that's certainly a challenge. So why ABA? Well, we have other chemical thinners. 6BA is probably most widely used in Bartlett thinning, but it, as well as NAA and a little bit of ethaphon or ethylene-releasing compounds, they struggle in Oregon because of limitations due to temperature. We don't often have high enough temperatures for activity during the period when you'd be applying these. So ABA represents a good alternative. It doesn't appear to have much issue or limitation in terms of uptake and activity by temperature and humidity. It induces stomatal closure, so it has an indirect effect on photosynthesis. It kind of just follows suit with stomatal closure. It's got obviously a lot to do with abscission and dormancy. And in terms of thinning, we're really targeting those passive effects on carbon metabolism to try to set up some competition and drop some fruit. There are, of course, other processes going on with it as a hormone and interactions that really do get quite complex. We're using Protone. This is not labeled for pear, but Valent has this product. It's labeled in California, I believe, for table grapes. And the goal here was, let's try something that makes some sense, and if we get good enough, strong enough data, potentially we could move into a labeling process a lot sooner. So application timing, Dwayne showed quite a nice range from petal fall through 10 to 12 millimeter in terms of thinning. The results of the thinning trials that have been reported for ABA vary quite a bit. There's been some work on apple and pear. And so we took off, actually we were doing a little work before this, and I'll explain what that looks like, but in terms of the method slide, it's one bullet, and it's just to say that we're doing whole tree applications. We use a pressurized handgun. We've used surfactant. In fact, the first data set we used it, compared it alone with surfactant and the product, and saw that it was having no effect. So thereon, we dropped surfactant only as a treatment. The first study we did with ABA, we were looking at a potential to control vigor with angio, because angio pair is quite vigorous, and we were looking at all sorts of things outside of prohexadione calcium, like apogee or something like that. And so I was a little surprised to see that we had quite a bit of rates here. We have 1,000 ppms, none on this graph, but I've got a lot of shoot growth relative to the control. And if you look at the trunk, the inset on trunk growth, that was increasing, which didn't quite make a lot of sense. At the higher rates, we see some phyto. That's really insignificant there. I'll show you some scarier pictures here in a minute. But of course, that trunk growth increase with rate was a function of crop load, because the thinning was quite remarkable in this first year. And again, we were fortunate to have flagged flowers and done a fruit set just as a total workup. But my PhD student at the time went out to do a shoot measurements and found all these fruit on the ground. And said, "Oh, this is beautiful. We've got something here." So you can see we had a very strong rate response in terms of fruit set. And we were quite excited about that. The return bloom, not a whole huge effect on return bloom relative to the control, but obviously when you knock all the fruit off, there's some more carbon reserves and we got a little more return bloom. But 500 was quite efficacious. So we came in next year and we thought this was great. We're on to this big thing. And in fact, in 2012 in November, I think I picked up my Hort Science and had the nice cover shot, and there's Dwayne reporting on ABA and Bartlett thinning, and I thought, oh man, beat to the. So I didn't know that, and interestingly, the rates and the responses that we saw in that first year matched quite well with the work that Dwayne published. So here we come in year two, and we thought we're going to go big scale and do a few experiments. We laid this out, and nothing happened really. Here goes the PGR thing. Little bit of response, but not significant and not rate responsive. We were really planned on doing quite a bit of gas exchange work. We got a nice measurement one day before application, put it on, and the pump on our Cyrus gas exchange system went out. And thanks to PP Systems, I sent it back and they gave me a loaner. So it took 6 days to arrive. That's what the X represents there. And when it did, the 200 ppm, which we thought at the time, you know, we're gonna scale down, 250 thin too much. 500, of course, left no fruit. So we're gonna cap it at 200 and do a little more work in rate between 50 and 200. So at 200, we had about a 30% reduction in photosynthesis at 6 days after bloom, and you'll see what that looks like on a more substantial data set. Okay, inconsistent response between years. I had to think about that. Well, we had a difference in tree age. These were 20-year-old trees. The year prior were half the size, half the carbon reserves. Well, you would think, roughly. Pear are big and tree-wise, and they have big roots, at least the ones that we have in Oregon, typically. And so I figured that may have something to do with it. But, of course, there are environmental factors. If you look at this days from application of ABA for both trials, you can see lower temperatures in 2012. And so you would think potentially fruit demand for carbon in 2013 would be higher, maybe even have a stronger thinning effect. But what really played out nicely, at least from this first look, was the solar radiation or light. And you can see, again, days after application in 2012, we had quite a bit of shade. So by 6 days, the 200 ppm, you know, was over in 2013. It's pretty quick, and I'll show you what this looks like on another data set. Now, you can get around maybe a little of this in a real sunny year where if it is light, that's compounding the situation with ABA by increasing the dose, but that brings up the phytotoxicity issues. So we're fortunate in the Hood River Valley to have about 2,100 feet elevation gain in 20 minutes, 30 minutes. So I was able to, by the time we got all the fruit set data and sort of wrapped our head around this light scenario, we thought, let's repeat this in Parkdale. We were right at 10 to 12 millimeters. beautiful, typical gray, rainy type conditions on the way, and we thought we're going to lay it out. So we did, and we got very strong fruit set response, as we did in 2012. Rate responsive. We added 400 in the event that, you know, was anomaly what we had seen in 2012. And you can just see the hand thinning data. That's the little figure that's dropped down there. It was relative to rate, as you would imagine. And 100 ppm seemed like, in both cases, that's 100 to 125 would be more or less the target. And there we reduced fruit set by 50%. We didn't quite gain a significant size increase on the fruit, but it's roughly a box size and getting close. Okay, aside from just all-out dropping fruit, we wanted to look at the proportion of spurs that either had blanks, zero or one or two or three or four fruit, and see if there was some sort of sensitivity or on fruit from ABA. And you know, within that 100 ppm, there was a positive effect, slightly more blank spurs, slightly fewer two and three fruited spurs. So there was a little bit of an effect, but there was still some blotchiness around the trees in terms of uniformity. Okay, so PN was rate limited. We reduced photosynthesis in this trial. You can see this started at day one, the data set. It's about 5 to 7 days within that optimal range that we really reduce photosynthesis, and then things pick up again pretty quick. So you don't have a whole lot of time to get this carbon set up. So clearly I think we were helped by the weather. Now this 34%, this is the 200 parts per million, where we had 28% reduction in photosynthesis on day six from that first experiment. So we've seen in other experiments that photosynthesis is pretty consistently controlled by ABA rate. I don't know how well you can see this, but when I came up to this orchard to do, I was doing photosynthesis measurements at one point, looked on the ground, and there were a ton of leaves for the ABA treatments. And so this 400, this would be a typical shoot that we were looking at, and I suppose some of the carbon balance was affected by having maybe 30 to 40% of the leaves knocked off, as well as having a good depression on the process on the others. If we now stack these three, just to give you an idea what the cloudiness looked like, the top graph now for the red, which was that successful thinning trial in Parkdale in 2013, compared to the green 2012, quite similar environmental conditions. Okay, so we did two trials in 2014. One was just to come back in and see if we could reproduce this again as a third year response, and we got an intermediate response. You can see that the thinning was significant, but at this 100 ppm level, not so much, and only, you know, not nearly the amount of reduction even at 200. So there's a little bit going on there. No effect on yield or fruit size. These are all thinned. We have hand thinning data. They didn't make it into the graph, but after we go through, we had commercial thinning, count the fruit from each tree. And by the end of the day, we really had no effect from this trial. So if we stack these and look at results relative to the solar radiation minus 5 to 15 days after application, you can see that 2013, of course, really sticks out. 2014, we had some cloudy conditions, but they didn't come for a little longer, a little later after application. But this idea that's been shown in Apple, we've seen quite well, and that is that the preceding light environment leading up to the spray doesn't seem to have as much consequence on fruit set as the scenario after. So we have this kind of wishy-washy general observation that light is related to ABA's action in fruit set, and we wanted to test this, and so we developed a shade house by ABA trial. And this was a real bummer. We shot for 10 days within, you know, we came out of petal fall and somewhere between 6 millimeter and 12, we looked for that 10-day forecast of sunny weather, and we got it because we're going to have now shade and fully exposed trees, and we needed to have sunny conditions, and just didn't quite happen so well. So days 3, 4, 5, 6, we got a little bit of shade in here. So I don't want to focus on the main effects too much, but if you look at the effect of shade alone on fruit set, it's quite remarkable. We know this. These shade houses were up for 15 days, and 77 or 44% shade versus out in the open. And I know shade and canopy coverage has been trialed for thinning, and, well, it works quite well. For all of the leaves that we did our PN work on, if you look at the effect of shade on a light response, these are absolute data. They were followed our published light response curves for pear quite well. The top is the green for exposed leaves. The bottom purple curve is one I did on shaded leaves. And of course, these leaves were developed when we put the housing on, so they didn't develop in the shade. They don't respond as shade leaves, but they fit the curve quite well. So that's only, you know, a portion, just measuring single leaves on the exterior of the canopy, even though you're in these different levels of shade. We wanted to also look at the distribution, and that's PAR on the y-axis. It looks like it might be cut off a little. The distribution within the canopy in terms of light and how that might alter things. Most of the fruit was within the first 2 feet, 0 to 60 centimeters of the canopy. So if you look at these curves, and they're fit to logistic functions, they behave pretty well relative to the percent of light, and agree pretty well with the individual leaf data that we have. If we look at ABA and its effect in this study on fruit set, it worked. It worked quite well. Again, these were younger trees. We're into 11 or so year old trees. Didn't quite have the response in the shade with ABA at the highest level that I would have anticipated on fruit set. Okay, this is sort of a water is wet statement to see if you're still around. Of course, PAR wasn't going to be affected by ABA application, but it just shows. So over the course of the period of our photosynthesis measurements, we've got 0% shade with and without ABA, and that would be the blue. With would be the dotted line, and the solid line would be without. Okay, and then you got 44% and 77%. Again, we had a transient, pretty quick effect of ABA on photosynthesis. We used 125 parts per million. That's what we aim for because we are feeling that, generally speaking, that's about the rate that we want to target. Interestingly, as the shade got more severe, you look at the 77% shade, you only really have one day. This is significant, but I don't think in biological sense. Only really 1 or 2 days of difference. Which kind of explains fairly well why you don't have much of a difference in fruit set, potentially. We took the shade off at 15 days, and so you can see that response there. There was an interaction. We had an interaction on fruit set, and so this we had few reps. There were only 4 reps by the time we put the factorial design out, so 4 single tree reps is not a lot, as Dwayne pointed out earlier. So I was pretty happy to see that we were able to shake out some treatment effects. Okay, so the summary of 5 ABA thinning trials with respect to percent of control set, where the asterisks are is where we had significance from the control. I've highlighted in red the 2013 and 2014 trial where we had no effect and a very small effect, but not to the later or higher rates. And it seems like they're obviously both with the larger trees. I think pear has a lot of reserve carbohydrates to get around a 5-day depression in photosynthesis, is the bottom line. So ABA thinning was inconsistent over 5 field trials. Pear trees likely have sufficient carbohydrate reserves to deal with short-term PN effects. And some threshold of shade is required for ABA thinning. 15 days of it did a really nice job on its own of reducing fruit set and we did see a significant interaction between shade and ABA on fruit set and yield. I'd like to thank the Fresh Pear Committee and the Washington Tree Fruit Research Commission for the funding and administration, and Gorham Blaine is a grower in Parkdale, let us go through a crop destruct on his trees. So appreciate your attention. I'll take a question or two if there's time, and if you guys are around and you have time, you can sort of ask the other presenters questions as well.